chapter 35 of the book of Exodus. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 35, verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded, that you should do them." And so this is God's law. Make sure you keep it. This comes from Him. Remember that. 2. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does work therein shall be put to death. Now, God created the Sabbath to commemorate that He created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. But also, the New Testament tells us that Jesus has become the Christian's Sabbath. He is our rest. And just like the Israelites in Old Testament days were to observe the Sabbath day of rest, one day out of seven, Christians are to worship God every day because He is our Sabbath. We rest in Him from trying to earn our way to heaven, and He is our Sabbath. Every day with Christ is a Sabbath day where we should put Him first and worship Him and put Him before everything in our life. Verse 3, you shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. That would just be no work, no work, not even kindling a fire. Verse 4, and Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take you from among you an offering to the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. So these offerings, which will be spoken of by God through Moses, are for the tabernacle. And they are to come from people who have a willing heart. Now, Israel was commanded to give 10% of their income to keep the government and their religion going. But the tabernacle was built with gifts given by those who wanted to do something nice for God. It was in their heart to do it. Verse 6, other things were to be donated from a willing heart, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and rams, skins dyed red, badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and that would go into the high priest breastplate. It was part of his uniform, you might say, each one of those stones representing a tribe in the nation Israel. 10, and every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. In other words, those of you who God has equipped with skill to do things, to make things, they were to offer that skill to God and use it for His glory to build His tabernacle. 11, the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its tashes, in other words, its hooks and its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets, the ark, that'd be the ark of the covenant, throne of God, and the staves thereof. The staves were used to carry the ark with the mercy seat. Mercy seat really was on top of the ark, and it was solid gold, and it was God's throne on earth. And the veil of the covering. 13, the table and its staves with all its vessels and the showbread. The staves for the table were for carrying it as well. The showbread was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Verse 14, the candlestick also for the light, and its furniture, and its lamps, with the oil for the light. The candlestick speaks of Jesus Christ being the light of the world. He came into the world, but for the most part, the Bible says that the world loved darkness and hated the light, so they rejected him. Verse 15. But he's still the light of the world. He is truth, and he spoke truth, and his word is truth, and it's all spiritual light designed to shine on the souls of people. The candlestick represented that. 15. Then the incense altar and its staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle. The incense altar represents prayers. The prayers of God's people rise before him as sweet incense, and he accepts them if there aren't any unconfessed sins in their life. The incense altar also speaks of the intercession of Jesus Christ. He is in heaven right now, interceding on behalf of his people. 16. The altar of burned offering, with its brazen grate, its staves, and all its vessels, the laver and its foot. The altar of burnt offering pictures the cross, where the Lamb of God was offered. This is where lambs and animals were sacrificed during Old Testament days to God. Sin offerings, peace offerings, and so on and so forth. It all pictured the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross, which paid for our sins. 17. The hangings of the court, its pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court, and their cords, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. And so everybody had a job to do. Whatever your skill was, if you could contribute in some way to making these things, then, and you wanted to do it, God would accept that service as an offering, as well as the materials that were needed. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And so people who had a heart for God gave. Those who didn't care did not give. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Again, willing hearts. The Bible says that the gift is acceptable if one has a willing heart. 24. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. So it seems like they all contributed something. Everybody had something that they could give. 25. And all the women that were wise-hearted, in other words, they were skilled, did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. So the women were involved in the tabernacle as well, making many things. Verse 26, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. So they had a willing heart, and they had the skill to do it, and so they did it. 27, and the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And again, that refers to priestly garments. 28, and spice and oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. All these things were used in service, in the tabernacle, in the worship of God. 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering to the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And that really is key. God is looking for people who serve him out of a heart for him. He doesn't force people to love him or to do things for him. He does nice things for us, like saving us from hell by giving his only son, Jesus Christ. And then what he expects in return, which is not unreasonable at all, is that we serve him voluntarily out of love. We are to respond to his love by loving him. In fact, the Bible says, we love God because he first loved us. Verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So Bezalel was a skilled craftsman, and he was going to use it in service to God. 32, and to devise curious works or artistic works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and he was going to do it for the glory of God. 33, in fact, you know, let me just stop here for a second. Any honest work has dignity. And any honest work by you today, if you're a Christian, can be offered to God in service to him. I don't care what it is. It could be at a factory, it could be at a grocery store, whatever the case may be. Just offer your work to God as service to him and do the best that you can. 33. And in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of inventive or cunning work. And he has put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan. Them has he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple, in scarlet and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning or skillful work. And so God is the one who provided the skills to these men to do practical, down-to-earth things like building and creating and artistic sewing for the women. And it is God who gives these skills. And these people had an opportunity to use that in service of the Lord. And it's so important that no matter what we do, whatever we are capable of doing, to recognize that it is by the grace of God that we are capable, and to serve him, to use it in a manner that is pleasing to him as Christians.